Welcome back to Page of the Wind. It's the daily podcast where we read a page of Name of the Wind and then talk about it. This is page 265, and if you're following along in the 10th anniversary edition, it's page 254. Savoy, Simmond looked stunned. What are you doing here? I ask myself the same thing. Savoy looked down at the bench. Are there no proper chairs in this place? He took his seat, moving with an odd combination of graceful courtliness and stiff affronted dignity. Excellent. Next I'll be eating with a trencher and throwing bones to the dogs over my shoulder. Etiquette dictates it be the left shoulder, your highness, Manet said, around a mouthful of bread, grinning. Savoy's eyes flashed angry, but before he could say anything, Simmons spoke up. What happened? My tuition was 68 strelam, he said indignantly. Simmons looked nonplussed. Is that a lot? It is a lot, Savoy said sarcastically. And for no good reason. I answered their questions. This is a grudge, plain and simple. Mandrag does not like me, neither does Heme. Besides, everyone knows they squeeze the nobility twice as hard as you lot, bleeding us dry as stones. Simmons' nobility? Manet pointed a spoon. He seems to do fine for himself. Savoy exhaled sharply through his nose. Simmons' father is a paper duke bowing to a tin king in Atur. My father's stables have longer bloodlines than half you Aturan nobles. Simon stiffened slightly in his seat, although he didn't look up from his meal. Willem turned to face Savoy, his dark eyes going hard. But before he could say anything, Savoy slumped, rubbing his face in one hand. I'm sorry, Sim, my house had named to you. It's just... things were going to be better this term, but now they're worse instead. My allowance wouldn't even cover my tuition, and no one will extend me more credit. Do you know how humiliating that is? I've had to give up my rooms at the Golden Pony. I'm on the third floor of the Mews. I almost had to share a room. What would my father say if he knew? Simon, his mouth full, shrugged and made a gesture with his spoon that seemed to indicate that there was no offense taken. Maybe things would go better for you if you didn't go in there looking like a peacock, Manet said. Leave off the silk when you go in through admissions. Is that how it is? Savoy said, his temper flaring again. Should I abase myself? Rub ashes in my hair? Tear my... That's the end of the page. My name's Nick.
I'm Jordana.
And I'm Jeremy.
I like the way that you read that page.
Thank you. Pages with characters are fun to read because I get to do characters.
I think that... who is it who says, like, oh, what, you have to throw the bone over your left shoulder?
Manet. Yeah.
He's so funny!
Yeah, he is. That being said, I am very sympathetic to Savoy.
Why?
Because if I came from immense wealth and privilege, like, I understand where he's coming from. He is humiliated. I mean, it's his fault that he wasn't more careful with his money, but as I talked about a few pages ago, rich noble sons have no concept of the value of a buck. So, yes, he sort of brought it on himself, but on the other hand, this is hard for him. It's not necessarily easy for someone like Quoth to sympathize because Quoth, it comes from, like, nothing.
From abject poverty, whereas this guy is, you know, almost had to share a room.
For an aristocrat, that would be humiliating. And, like, he does deserve to have nice things, and I feel kind of bad for him.
So, I mean, I guess what we're supposed to take away from this is that this is his equivalent of, like, the end of his rope.
Yeah.
Like, Savoy's got it really hard right now.
Yeah, as far as, yes, in his world, like, from his point of view, this is... like, disastrous.
Because takes it out on his friend. Like, these guys are all clearly know him, and Simon is, like, kind of... he's apparently not offended by the jab at his family.
Or he shrugs it off, right? Like, he's offended, and then he's like, ugh, it's just Savoy being Savoy.
I actually get the feeling that it is Savoy being Savoy. I get the feeling that Savoy is probably over the top a lot, and that Simon probably gets that same reaction from Savoy, where he's just like, I'm sorry, like... This is how I'm feeling. Like, what did he say? My name and my house to you.
My house and name to you.
He clearly has a respect for Simon. To have him say that. And Simon is probably just like, yeah, man, just get it out. I know that this is not a hard feeling between us. We've been down this road before kind of situation.
Get a neat little window into the attitude of the different nations' nobilities. That the Modiga nobility looks down on the Atura nobility, who are, you know, upjumped from a tin king.
Well, because the Aturan Empire, like, is a shadow of itself, right? It used to be huge and powerful, and now it's really not. It's, like, doesn't exist anymore. We get some interesting character work from Willem, even though he doesn't say anything. When Savoy says that nasty thing about Simon's family, Willem, his dark eyes going hard, he's about to, like, tell this guy off. and come to the defense of his friend, right? It's not Willem's family who are being insulted, it's Simmons.
I feel like that's often the way friends get, though. Like, if you're with a friend and someone, like, is rough towards your friend, like, vocally, then, like, you kind of, you want to protect them more than your friend might actually feel the hurt or not. It's, like, you assume that your friend is hurt and you want to jump to their protection.
And maybe, it's not on the page, but maybe this is what Savoy, like, makes him realize he's gone too far when he sees that Willem has this reaction, because it's then that he turns and goes, oh, you know what, I'm sorry, Sim.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We don't see his reaction upon seeing Willem's eyes, but it could be that.
So this interaction rings true as like a thing that happens in actual real-life group of friends, but I think that, you know, we've only known this group of characters for all of 3 pages now, so this is a really good way to establish for us that, like, no, these guys are, they're not just, like, lunchtime buddies, they're friends. I also, like, just going back a little bit, I, in general, have a real soft spot for arrogant aristocrats who are better than everyone else, and maybe that's partly why I'm sympathetic to Savoy, because he's that kind of character.
Wait, why do you have a specific sympathetic link to those people?
I don't know. I just do. Dr. Doom, Namor, Mr. Burns.
Weird. All these,
yeah, they're all great and did nothing wrong.
Mr. Burns did nothing wrong?
Thanos?
No, Thanos doesn't... He's not quite arrogant enough. Like, if he talked about himself in the third person more...
then it would be okay.
Yeah, yeah, super cool. Like, all the coolest characters refer to themselves in the third person. That's, like, Darth Vader. Darth Vader's another good example.
He doesn't refer to himself as...
Darth Vader says this. But he is, like... He is arrogant to the point of absurdity, almost. And so is Palpatine.
Okay, just take it back to the page. This also serves to let us know that the Masters do... or at least plant the idea in our heads that the Masters do charge more because of grudges.
Mm-hmm.
That's a factor.
Mm-hmm. And like it does make the system seem somewhat unfair, right? Like if you are sort of at the mercy of these 11 people, and if you tick off any one of them, you know, that might have real dire consequences for you.
Are there 11?
Nine. Sorry.
Okay.
Also, the 2 grudges against Savoy happen to be the same 2 grudges that
Mandrag and Hemi.
Both.
What? Mandrag isn't
after. Not yet. Mandrag is Heme's, like, little buddy.
No, that's
buddy.
Brandur.
Oh, oops.
Mandrag is the physicker, right? He's the physician.
No,
or
that's...
Is he the...
Oh, no, you're right, though. Brandur is...
That's Arwell, but Mandrag is... Then he must be the alchemy guy. Because he's basically a non-entity in the book.
Yeah.
But you're quite...
Yeah, okay.
Jordana, your fundamental point is correct. Heme's the guy who's got a grudge. And so that's another reason to maybe look on Savoy more kindly. We know that Heme takes an irrational dislike to Quoth and tries to make his life miserable. Maybe he's taken an irrational dislike to Savoy.
Yeah, maybe.
For sort of the opposite reason.
Mm-hmm. Savoy probably could dial it down a bit, because it does seem like it's standard operating procedure for them to charge nobles more. And so if he did dial it down and not dress up so much, but I get that it's sort of all he has is his clothes and his, like, pride.
Well, and like, you know, culturally speaking, like, an aristocrat would actually, no, I should go about in my best. Like, that's how things are done. That's how, you know, a noble behaves. And it is humiliating to be, like, to be asked to dress like a commoner. Because I'm better than them. Why on earth should I dress like them? You know? Like, that's where he's coming from.
Mm-hmm.
The currency that Savoy references.
Yes.
68.
Stralaum.
I don't believe we see them before or since.
Mm. And can we make any guess as to...
Well, Jeremy's checking the converter.
In the appendix, I do not see... there's a whole section in the appendix, dear readers, on the currency. And I don't see anywhere in this conversion table a reference to the Stralaum.
There's no Modigan currency here. Mm-hmm. This seems like just a bit of...
fluff.
Yeah, fluff and not.
But he talks about all kinds of currency in here. But he leaves out the Modigans.
Well, we don't know much about Modig. It's not super important beyond being an area that people seem to be from.
Mm-hmm.
But it maybe doesn't have its own currency system.
Mm. Yes. Well, if you want to know more about the currency, listeners, you're going to have to check out one of our upcoming patron-exclusive episodes, where I'm sure we will talk about nothing but currency.
Yes. Let's keep an eye out. Let's make a pact to keep an eye out for a description of Modig and what the deal is there, because I know that... Is it Fela who's Modigan? There's a few Modigan characters, but we don't know a lot about what the land is actually like or what their government is like. Mm. So, I mean, my sense based on Savoy and the map and the fact that there's no currency is that it's sort of like a fallen kingdom. Like, they have a lot of pride, but maybe that's it.
I think of it, and maybe this is just me spinning things out of whole cloth, but I think of it as being sort of like an exotic place as far as the residents of the Commonwealth and the former Eturan Empire are concerned.
I mean, I get that sense based on this page, but if you look on the map, it's kind of right smack in the middle.
Well, it might be exotic in the way that the English think of France as being exotic.
I suppose.
Do the English think France is exotic?
It's the nearest foreign country. They do crazy. They eat snails there. It's crazy.
I'm sure they're delicious. What was I going to say? Okay. This is a new-ish topic. Are we all done with what was...
Go on.
Yeah, okay. So this is the first reference to the Golden Pony. And it's sort of a funny reference because we're talking about, like, where they're going to sleep. And Savoy, who's very rich, is just like, oh, like, lost his room at the Golden Pony. And, of course, the place where the rich kids stay is called the Golden Pony. Mm-hmm. Of course it is.
Also, it's not his room. His rooms.
Right.
Yeah, it's the kind of place where they have rooms.
Suites, yeah.
Yeah. So I just think it's funny that, like, of course, like, the name of the place where they stay has got the word golden in it.
Mm-hmm. Is that one of the places that Quoth tries to get a berth at and is refused because Ambrose has bribed everyone?
Let's keep an eye out. It seems like it's above his pay grade. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like Quoth wouldn't want to hang out there anyway, but mm-hmm. let's keep an eye out for it.
Let's see if it comes up again.
Yeah.
This is back on, like, what we've already touched on, but I just wanted to note that I had made the note that, Savoy is a brat, but he also doesn't know any better.
Yeah, exactly. I think that is a very succinct way of expressing what I've been blathering about for this whole episode.
Yeah. Someone should really put him in his place, but we also, like, I can recognize that he clearly hasn't had the opportunity to be educated in
I get the sense that he's coming around. Doesn't he sell his clothes later on? He comes in, like, more... Maybe I'm just fabricating this, too, but doesn't he come in like, more plain clothes later on?
Well,
he's probably been forced to sell his finery to pay for his rent and whatever.
I feel like Savoy might have a bit of an arc happening in the background, but let's keep an eye out. You know, Savoy might not be a bad character for an Ender Shadow type of game. Not game. Book. Like, a character who has a parallel story happening in the background of the main character story.
Mm. Oh, that's cool.
Because he does sort of pop in and out.
Yeah, he pops in and out and he dates Denna briefly. Mm-hmm. He's, like, involved.
All right.
Yeah.
We'll keep an eye on Savoy then.
And he clearly has an arc. In fact, he might have more of an arc than some of the other background characters or side characters so far. Anywho, are we out of things to talk about on the page?
I'm out of things.
We do have a letter.
Mailbag. From someone new?
This is from Ambra. Jeremy, do you want to read this one?
Sure thing. Dear Jordana, Nick, and Jeremy, first of all, thank you so much for doing this podcast. I have been binge listening to all the episodes for the last month, and it was really great. I really like how in deep you go in analyzing the book, and also as a non-native English speaker, I really enjoy all the comments on style and structure of Pat's writing. Also, you were wondering if there are girls listeners. Here I am.
Hooray! Right.
That's at least three.
Thank God.
In the last few episodes, you have been commenting on Quoth's annoying behavior towards the man selling clothes to him, how he is pushing it a bit too far. I agree with your comments, but I also think that Rothfuss here is emphasizing how Quoth is now different from the beggar in Tarbian. Now that he has been... awakened, he is a trooper again. He's himself again, and the contrast with the boy quietly sneaking in to listen to Scarpy's story is as sharp as possible. Can't wait to hear your comments on Denna in a few days. Thanks again, Ambra. Please don't say my surname if you happen to read this email. Hooray!
We got you, Ambra. Thank you so much for writing. Your English is excellent.
Yes.
I actually find that people who I've met who write things to me who are English as a second language, their English is impeccable.
They're more careful.
Yeah.
They always apologize. My English is so bad. And, like, I couldn't write you a letter in any other language. I think that that is a really astute point that you have made about the sort of heightened nature of Quoth's performance in the tailor's shop as being, like, a real contrast to the character that we have seen him be in Tarbian up to this point. I think that that is totally valid.
My comment on her email has it has less to do with the email itself and just for emailing us, because as a girl, it's nice to see the other girls. And I feel like we're getting closer to the 50-50 mark.
To the parity.
And I love that. So thanks for your email. Thanks for showing up to the party.
Yeah, we love to hear from you guys. It makes our day.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Yeah, I think we're just about done with this episode, so why don't we sign off. This is Page of the Wind. We're a member of the Dark Shelf Podcast Network. This has been page 265. My name is Nick.
I'm Jordana.
I'm Jeremy.
And this has been Page
of
the Wind.